You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. Got a great show for you guys today. It's basically just a conversation between myself and Matt Herlicka. He is an excellent writer, used to be with on staff at Grizzly Bear Blues, is no longer there, is doing his own thing on his Patreon page. If you haven't already subscribed, make sure you go subscribe to his Patreon page. If you go to his Twitter account at The Real Herlicka, it's like a pinned tweet on his Twitter account, but it's a really good, he does really, really good work. Seriously, one of the smartest guys that I've had an opportunity to work with when I first started at Grizzly Bear Blues. Really enjoy reading his stuff. So I appreciate him taking the time out. It was supposed to be just kind of one segment, but we ended up talking for like 25 minutes. So that'll basically be our entire show today. But we talk everything from just kind of the things, the recent things that have happened from the Grizzlies, the Justin Holiday trade, what he thinks will happen with Marc Gasol, what trades he thinks might happen if they do. So we get into some very specific trade talk about Marc Gasol, what might happen over the summer, just kind of all kinds of stuff. Kind of state of the Grizzlies, plus some trade filler at the end. So enjoy that conversation, and make sure you're getting your questions in for the Monday mailbag coming up through the weekend. Make sure you either DM them to me on Twitter, at LockedOnGrizz on Twitter is the handle, or my own personal handle, at King_producer. Make sure you send them to me via Facebook as well, if you need to, if you want to, if you're a Facebook person, not a Twitter person, whatever. And if you don't like either, just email them to me, lockedongrizz@gmail.com. I'll get them that way as well. So make sure you get all those in. We'll do the Monday mailbag in the second segment of the show, just like we do every single Monday. Until then, enjoy the conversation. Welcome back to the show. I have a great guest on for this Friday episode, Matt Herlicka. What's going on, man?
Nothing much, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. If you guys don't already follow Matt on Twitter, make sure you go follow him at The Real Herlicka. Does a Patreon page. There's a lot of good content if you're not a subscriber there as well. Make sure you subscribe there. It's a pinned tweet, right, Matt? It's a pinned tweet on your Twitter?
Yeah, I was receiving instructions from you before about self-promotion. So I probably should put it in my bio. It's not in my bio yet. It is the pinned tweet, though. So if you search my vowel-lacking last name on Twitter, Herlicka, you'll find me. I'll pop up.
Yeah, for sure. And if you're not already subscribed, make sure you're there. Matt's got some great stuff going on, but I'm going to have you on, talk about the Grizzlies, the state of the Grizzlies. I kind of ask everybody, I guess new that's on the show, I kind of ask everybody the same question to start off, and I'll ask you the same, but is this where you thought the Grizzlies would be at this point in the season?
Well, it's been surprising in the sense that, like, I think I wrote this in my most recent thing. It's like they've kind of ended up where I thought they would, but the way it's happened has been really surprising. Like, I think my preseason prediction was 36 wins. And so, yeah, I didn't see them as a serious threat for the playoffs, and I also didn't think they would be terrible. Like, I just kind of thought it would be sort of a generally dissatisfying season for pretty much everybody. You know, because either you want to tank or you want to be awesome. And I didn't think either the team would be either. But the way it's happened has been pretty amazing. I mean, coming out to that hot start and then kind of everything. I'm equally surprised that it came crashing down as quickly as it did. You know, I thought it would kind of like, you know, they'd lose 3 of 5 and then maybe roll off 2 victories and then maybe lose 4 in a row. And it just like, I mean, they've just totally gone off the rails. So, it has been surprising, but where they are now is about where I thought they would be.
I think that's interesting the way you look at it, because I don't think I've probably thought about it like that. But it is, I think you're probably right. I don't think that any of us thought that it would be this like the way it happened. I think it would just be like a meandering, you know, 35 wins. It's kind of how somehow they get to a, you know, they'll probably win some you didn't think they were going to win. They'll probably lose some you didn't think they were going to lose. But I don't think anybody thought it would be like a 12-5 and then this like crazy turnaround, like 180 degrees from where they started. I talked to Garrett Temple like about that exact thing last night, like we were just talking before we started recording, but just about how things have just kind of turned around completely. And I wrote a column today about the Grizzlies' effort, and I think that I put in there that if you can play hard
And that's what they were doing a lot in the first year. They were getting through some of this bad offense just by playing hard and playing good defense. Do you think that's largely true? They could probably, you know, they could probably win a couple of these games if they just continue to grind it out, and offense will come back, and, you know, it'll come and go, but they could probably eat down some more wins if they just continue to put out, you know, maximum effort like this bench did in the last, this Bucks game a couple of days ago.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, with the effort, they're just a really bad offensive team. I mean, the defense can only cover up so much, especially when the other team is not pulling the ball out of the bucket, and they can just get into their offense real quick and get it in transition. Or if you're turning the ball over, like, it really leads to this feedback loop where it's just so much harder to defend if you're letting them get into offense faster. So, like, the fact that their offense is so bad hurts their defense. They're a better defensive team probably than the numbers, especially when they were forcing turnovers. They've regressed a lot on that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, the playing hard on defense, I mean, they just can't make shots. So their other team is getting out quick. And, you know, Gasol, Anderson, Green, these are all slow players. And you just, they beat you down the court. And it's not just about getting a fast break, you know, shot. It's about pinging around, getting in mismatches, the defense not being, the quote unquote defense not being set leads to a lot of easy buckets for the other team. And then you're pulling the ball out of the bucket. And then you can't score because you're working against the set defense. So it just leads to this nasty thing that you can't stop.
That's very interesting the way to look at it. I mean, and you're right. I mean, it is a vicious cycle that you really can't get out of. And Justin Holiday's been one of those guys that Grizzlies recently acquired. I want to get your thoughts on the trade, but he has not been good. I mean, largely. I mean, I understand if he's not good, he's not good. I think they also overpaid for him. That's just one man's opinion. But also, you have to give him minutes. I think that JB's got to give him chances. I mean, if he doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But I think it starts with minutes. I guess, what was your take on the Holiday trade? Like it, love it? And where do you stand on him now as he's been with the team for a few weeks?
I thought it was a weird trade because of the fact that he's just so redundant with Temple. I mean, they're both just – I don't give like grades. I kind of like give an overall, like just my thoughts on the trade. And then I'll just say like, yeah, I would have done this or who did better or whatever. And I was like, the Bulls definitely did better. Like they extract a lot of value out of a guy who is better than he's showing. But, admittedly he's been really bad, for the Grizzlies, but there's reasons for that. I mean, it's really hard to sort of like, you come in and you know you have to make a jump shot. If you don't make a jump shot, it's like, again, the feedback loop. You don't make a jump shot. Now suddenly you know that you're getting taken out because the one thing that you're supposed to be able to do, you can't do. He's a pretty good defender too. But my whole thing was this team is not being realistic about where they are in the league. You know, they're trying to, I don't even know if make the playoffs. They're just trying to right the ship. And they keep paying out future assets for guys who aren't going to move the needle and don't fundamentally solve the Grizzlies problem. The Grizzlies problem is they don't have guys who can make buckets and like generate shots for other teams, for other players. So like when we were mooted for Austin Rivers, I was like, okay, this makes sense. This is exactly what the team needs. He's going to have a big role. Like, I hate this guy. I don't like watching him play. I've never liked him, but he will at least be a chance of fixing the problem. Whereas Holiday, it's like, okay, Holiday and Temple, like you got 48 minutes at shooting guard that are pretty much the exact same player, except Temple's a little bit bigger and Holiday's more athletic. But playing them together, one of those guys is going to be a little outmatched. And it's just one less guy that can dribble. I mean, at least Marshawn and Seldon could dribble a little bit. I mean, neither was lighting the world on fire, but it's just, you took out dribbling, even though you got the better player. It kind of, I'm not going to say it made the team worse, but it made it more predictable. You know the guys that can attack the rim now, you know, even more so than you could.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he is a guy that I think I put this set out there that, like, once he takes a dribble, he becomes increasingly bad a shot taker. I mean, just making
Temple
shots.
Too.
He is, yeah, absolutely. And like you said, it puts him, if they play together, it puts him in a very precarious situation where, especially if they're both not making shots, which has been kind of the I guess Temple's made a few shots lately, but for the large part, that's kind of been where they're at lately.
Right.
You can't, it's hard to roll both of them out at the same time for sure. I want to get your thoughts on second round picks. I argue with people all the time about second round picks. Where do you land on them? Give them away. I argue with people in the Slack channel. And I land on the side of they are assets, no matter what you view them as. They are currency in NBA. I mean, they got you Justin Holiday. You know what I mean? Like, they are currency in a shape of form. But where do you land on that? I mean, is it currency or the assets, or you just say, oh, we can get more of them?
Oh, no, they're currency. And the thing about it is, like, just, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard Hollinger say, like, he told former Locked On Grizzlies host Peter Edmonston, he did a thing with him last year that basically Hollinger's take was, look, you can buy second round picks. Like, it's worth $5 million. If you pay a team $5 million, you can get the second round pick. And my thought was, oh, really? Like, let's go back and look at all the second round picks that have transferred with only cash. And you go back and look, and it's basically the Chicago Bulls do it and nobody else does. So good thing that we traded them two picks. Maybe we can pay them $5 million in 2020 and 2019 to get our picks back each year. So I don't know. I mean, the thing is, you have to have, like, a double coincidence of one. It's like an economics term where basically we not only have to, that the team not only has to want what we're giving them to sell, like, oh, we do want that $5 million. They also have to not want to pick somebody. So the second round picks that we have gotten in the past has been, oh, well, we have to give up a better second round pick. Like, we've got pick number 35 for a Brooklyn pick that this year actually won't be better, but you know, it's like you have to give up something to get something. And it's just I fall more on the side of I think where you're coming from, where it's like it's an asset. It's not a big asset. Like, you can get them. But you have to give up something for it. It's not like you can just create them out of air.
Right. Yeah. It's not a large asset. But in this today's NBA, it is an asset that can grease the wheels on a lot of deals. You know, it can help you get over where, like, just like Justin Holiday. I mean, there are other teams that wanted Justin Holiday for whatever reason, but you know, you put picks in and then bam, you get the player because of the asset you put in. So yeah, I wish more people would come over to our side of things, but I digress. Marcus Gasol been started off great this year. He was playing better than I'd seen him play in his entire career. Just put a lot of things together, a lot of things he had been doing well individually over the years. He put kind of all together in that first part of the season. And now it's been so bad. I mean, obviously it started with him getting hurt. And now he has this looming decision. Where do you land on Marc Gasol as far as trade him, wait? And what do you think will happen with him in the summer if they get there?
So in my last thing, I kind of wrote a long-winded sort of rambling thing about Mark, who, by the way, is my favorite Grizzlies player of all time, if not my favorite basketball player of time, like all time. I love Marc Gasol. And it's just been incredibly frustrating the last – basically, if you count this year as a full year, the last 2.5 years, basically since he got into a row with Fizdale, like – what Gasol are we getting? And it's tough because it's not that he's inconsistent. It's that he's, it's like governed by nothing. It's like, how does he, is the feng shui right in the room for Mark to like perform? And the whole team, the fundamental problem with the team is that the whole team is built around Gasol being a high usage player that can create offense for other people. And he can't do that anymore. He is physically unable to get by his man. He increasingly gets shots off of assists from other players. He increasingly gets fewer and fewer. He's never been a high get shots at the rim guy. He now like doesn't shoot at the rim at all. I'm looking at his shot frequency right now. He's in the 7th percent of all bigs for most for the amount of shots you get at the rim. Like he shoots 22% of his shots are within 3 feet, and that's in the seventh percentile. Last year it was 12%. The year before it was fifth. The year before it was eighth. Like he's never gotten to the rim ever. He shoots little hook shots, little, you know, runners, little fadeaways. And those are low percentage shots. I mean, the thing that made him work throughout all these other years is that he was a dominant defensive player. He passed for other players. You know, he did everything else and he scored enough. And now he can't score. And the roster is built around Gasol from 3 years ago. It just fundamentally doesn't work. So I'll spoil a little bit of what I'm writing, or going to write, but I am sort of agnostic on a Gasol trade, because if you try to trade him, because as we all know, a secret cannot be kept inside of FedEx Forum anymore. Like literally Shams is tweeting out like what people are eating for lunch down there. Like if you try to trade him, it will get out and he will find out and it will piss him off. And either he will play worse or he'll demand a trade or he'll leave in the off season. But I think you have to do your due diligence and try to trade him, or at least try to get something, because I don't like the way the injury is one thing. Like if this is all because of an injury, like I understand that. I don't have sources. I'm not inside Gasol's head. I don't know what is happening with him, but this bad play has lingered for almost 2 months now. And right. You would have thought at some point he would have sat out a game. He hasn't sat out any games. So I'm just like, he doesn't seem happy. He's angry all the time. He's pouting. He like is, you know, hanging his head. Like it seems like the Grizzlies should prepare for him to move on. And I'm pretty much okay with that, because they cannot fundamentally fix the problem of this team. They cannot build a team around him anymore. They don't have, if he stays and he's at 25 million, they don't have the resources to get players who can do what he can't do. So you're at an impasse, right? And you just let him go.
Right. And I had become more and more along those lines that I think it's just, you're asking someone who is Mark, you're asking Mark to be someone who's not, you know, you're asking Mark to do something or be somebody who has never been, you know, that's the guy that we all scream to be aggressive and want to be those things. It's just not who he is by, you know, it's not him as a person. It's not him as a basketball player. He's never been like that. And people don't change. People just get up and be like, I'm going to be totally different. You know, that's just not how it works. Right. And so that's probably why I probably landed along those lines as well. But I mean, if the Grizzlies do try to look for him, what do you think they can get for him? And then I think I saw Harrington say this, that Chris Harrington with the Daily Memphis, he said that, you know, what you get might, you know, what you get in return might be worse than just letting him walk in the summer. What do you think they can get anything that's better than just letting him walk in the summer? Anything from any team?
Yeah. So this is what I'll spoil. This is kind of the way that I would think about it, is if you let him walk, you're going to have around 20 to 21 million, depending. Let's assume they keep their pick and it's around six. Okay. You're going to have around 20 to 21 million in cap space after cap holds. And assuming you let Green, Temple, and and Holiday all go, or you just prioritize cap space, you can have a max of about 21 million. So any contract you take back that lasts beyond there, you need to have an asset to justify losing to bite into that 21 million. So if you take on, let's say, Bismack Biyombo from Charlotte, because I think Charlotte is one of the teams that would make a deal. If you take on Bismack Biyombo, he's got 17 million. So you really, you're saying, I would rather have the asset that I'm getting with this, with by taking on Bismack Biyombo instead of having 21 million. I'll sacrifice and have 4 million of cap space, and you can't really do anything with that. But think about it this way. If you're in next summer and you have 21 million of cap space, what are you going to do? You have tons of teams with cap space, a lot of competitors. You're not a competitive team. You've just picked in the top 10 twice. You have Jaren Jackson and probably like around the sixth pick or, you know, the eighth pick or whatever. So you're a rebuilding team and you've got Conley and a bunch of guys. Are you going to repay Are you going to pay Temple, Holiday, and Green to bring them all back? No. Are you going to put in restricted free agent offers and kind of linger out there? Or are you going to play the salary dump game again? And then you're in the same boat. Are you going to take on Bismack Biyombo again because Charlotte needs to clear cap space? Or, you know, they've re-signed Kemba or whatever, so they need to get out from under luxury tax. You're still in the same boat. You're going to take on – Matt Moore made this point. It was really smart. If you're a bad team, you have to overpay guys to come, especially if you're a small market.
Right, yeah.
So it's not like that $21 million is like, oh, we can go out and get a really great player. No, you're going to take on salary to get a first-round pick. So is the first-round pick you're going to get in a Marc Gasol trade better, and can you use it quicker than the one that you're going to get next summer?
Right.
You know? So
yeah.
That's sort of like the gamble. That's why I'm kind of like, I don't really care if they trade him or if he leaves, because either way, it's probably going to be the same outcome. You're going to get
right.
some kind of young asset, a pick, or, you know, like you could make an offer sheet at D'Angelo Russell, or I don't know, like two guys around the level of like Bobby Portis and Tyus Jones. Like maybe you can get both of those guys. Your team's still bad. Your team's going to be bad. There's no silver bullet. Like it's right. just, what right. are you going to do? So.
No, I think you're right. Is there, I guess the ultimate question with everybody continues to ask about Marc Gasol in the trade, is there any scenario where you see them getting a youngish player in return and maybe a bad asset or bad contract, or do you think it just be a first round pick?
Yeah, I think it could be. I mean, the one that I toy with is like, you hear that Charlotte wants to get off Nick Batum. So would they trade Marc Gasol for Nick Batum and Malik Monk?
Right.
Because Malik Monk will shoot the ball. He won't get to the rim, but he'll shoot. So that sort of like fixes your problem. Or would they give you Miles Bridges? Probably not. Like definitely they're not giving him up. But that's the thing I would go right. and say, hey, you want to get off Nick Batum's 3 guaranteed years? You know, because if you take on Gasol, their centers aren't fantastic. You could even take like Frank Kaminsky in the deal too, because they're trying to get off Frank Kaminsky because they found out that he's terrible. So you could say, okay, give us Miles Bridges. We'll take on Batum's last 3 years. You have Gasol now. You can make a playoff run with Gasol and Kemba. And then you're protected, because if Gasol leaves, you've just cleared the space to where you can keep Kemba, even if he gets super paid, you know?
Right.
Like you're not in salary dump. You don't have to dump Biyombo anymore because you already dumped Batum.
Sure.
And Batum has been bad this year. The other thing I would look at it, and this is another one that's not like going to happen, but I think if Gasol leaves, the team I would look at is Dallas. I really think that they would – I don't think DeAndre is the guy they want. And if they want Gasol and they want to get off Dennis Smith, just say, hey, what do you think about – give us whatever bad contract you want. Do you want to give us DeAndre? Do you want to give us Wes Matthews? Do you want to give us Harrison Barnes? It doesn't matter. But whatever you give us, we want Dennis Smith. And they're going to say no, but – in the back of their head, when they can't get anything for Dennis Smith, they're going to know, like,
you have this other thing out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the kind of deal I'm playing around with. The other one is Washington. Would Washington want to get off Jan Mahimi? The second contract in that is fuzzy. They don't have any good young players, but their center situation is awful. So Gasol would actually be an upgrade. And then if he leaves, you know, they don't have to get out of the luxury tax again.
Right.
So it's kind of like you want to try to find a team that, you know, is trying to make the playoffs. But if Gasol leaves, it actually still kind of works out in the same way that it works out for the Grizzlies, where, you know, you don't really want to be paying this guy $25 million. So it's almost like you've been able to dump a bad contract. So I know I just rambled for like,
No.
10 minutes of nerddom, and everybody has deleted the podcast and moved on to like cereal or whatever. But
no, I know I appreciate you bringing my subscriber count down by quite a bit.
No kidding.
I think that's interesting, because I mean I think that it's not something that really that I've I mean I've heard a few things here and there, but it's always interesting to obviously play the trade game and kind of see what you think would get out of there. And I think they have to really consider it. I mean they have to like very, very, very just hard consider the idea of getting off Mark's contract before the trade deadline. I don't think they're going to. I mean, it would surprise me. It would really surprise me if they did anything before the trade deadline. But I think that's something that they should. I think they should, but I don't think they're going to. But
Charlotte is the team. Charlotte's the team that I look at, and I'm like, this makes sense. And and will they do it? Like, Jordan is the desperate owner. He wants to make the playoffs. You know, they want to get out. They have huge money that they want to get off of. Can you take one of those? And Nab, I don't think they'll trade Miles Bridges. But what about Malik Monk and maybe 2 seconds? Like, I would take. I personally would take that.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that Charlotte team is something that I think they should. I think Charlotte and Dallas was the one that the thing you said about Dallas is what I thought about Dallas, especially hearing the latest stuff about Dennis Smith. It's like, I mean, if it's kind of how I talked about the Chandler Parsons thing, it's kind of up to him. If he really if Chandler wants out bad enough right now, which he doesn't, he wants to get the money, but if he really wants out bad enough, he could be like, okay, I'll take less money. And if Dennis Smith really wants out bad enough, he could say, hey, look, find whatever deal you have to find, but you got to get me out. So.
Right.
You know, like you said, if you throw that out there and that's kind of lingering and they find out in the trade deadline, they're asking way too much, which most teams usually are. They usually settle. Mm-hmm. They settle at 2 o'clock or whatever time, time the deadline is. So, but I think it's smart. I don't think the Grizzlies would do it. I think I will be surprised if they come trade deadline and they don't at the deal mark. Now they do. I think they do need to be sellers. I think they need to be sellers of Jamichael Green and Garrett Temple and just kind of get as, you're already bad. Just kind of collect as many assets as you can. I think Jamichael Green's probably your best value here, but I think they have to be sellers.
So go back to, if Gasol opts out, and let's just kind of play in the idea that he does opt out, and because they're going to be bad, they're not going to make the playoffs and you think he wants to win. Let's just assume that happens and kind of be happy if he does opt in. But if they opt out, if he opts out, they're going to have about $21 million. And the mid-level is about $9 million. So I would be looking at trying to bring back maybe around $10 million of salary. If you're not going to trade Gasol, which I agree with you, I don't think they're going to be able to. I don't think they're going to be able to find a deal that they value and the other team values. I just don't think they're going to have a good fit. So the one that I love, and it's just a huge, extraordinary gamble, but at the end of the day, you're not giving up that much, is Temple and Holiday for Markelle Fultz and Jonah Bolden, which they can't be aggregated, but if you do them as two separate deals, it works. Right. Or Muscala and Holiday or something, just another thing. Because Fultz is exactly what they need. It's just that he may be a broken human being that can't actually do anything anymore. But if he's not broken, he's exactly what they need. A tall 6'6 guy who can dribble and get to the rim. Like, he can't shoot, but he can get to the rim. And I've always been kind of impressed with him when I watch him because he's so fluid and he looks sort of slow, but he actually gets all his spots. But the thing about it is you just don't know how broken he is. I mean, there's talk of medical condition he has. He baseball players have to get a rib removed to ease the pain of the nerve or something.
Right.
So, yeah, that might be a lost cause. But it's fun to dream about getting a player who was a number one pick for two guys who sort of you got for second round picks, you know?
I mean, I think if they said yes, I think you do that deal right away. I mean, like you said, it's two players who you're probably not going to bring back next year, or you're not really even long-term plans. But that, like you mentioned earlier, small market teams, there's only a couple ways that you can get good as a small market because you can't get free agents. You have to overpay, you have to draft well, and you have to gamble. You have to pay guys that are you have to do a Chandler Parsons deal where you pay a guy who might be hurt, but if he's not, he could really change the game for you. And that's really the only way you can get good as a small market. So, yeah, if you're presented that deal, I think you do that in a heartbeat. I think that they definitely need to be shopping all three of those guys at the trade deadline to see whatever they can get. Now, they also were supposed to be shopping Tyreke Evans last year at the trade deadline, and they didn't do anything. So who knows what's going to happen with this team. I don't have any faith at all that they'll they'll do what they probably should do, but who knows?
Right.
They surprise us, seem to surprise us every week. But again, man, I appreciate you coming on. It was been insightful. It's been a good talk, and I think I appreciate you taking the time out and doing the podcast.
All right, Mark. Thanks for having me. And it was good to talk to you for the first time ever.
I know. It's the first time we've ever spoken on the phone.
But don't be a stranger, man. I'll gladly come back.
Absolutely, man. We'll do it again sometime. Again, make sure you're following Matt at The Real Hard Liquor. His Patreon page is pinned to his Twitter account right now, but it'll be very soon in his bio. He's going to change that soon, so it'll be easy to find. But I appreciate it, man. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks again to Matt for joining me. Again, that's Matt Herlicka, former Grizzly Bear Blues, now doing his own thing and his own Patreon page. If you haven't already subscribed, make sure you do so. Head over to his Twitter profile at The Real Herlicka. It's there. Make sure you get it. Don't forget about Monday Mailbag. Get those questions in. Make sure you subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe so you don't miss a download. Or just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.